Okay, they're in.
Okay. So it looks like the recording started. It is 10 a.m. on January 16th, 2025. And good morning. I'm Scott Beathen, the chair of the Real Estate Appraiser Commission, and we're calling the meeting to order. The meeting is open to the public, and we'll have time at the end of the meeting for a public commentary period. We ask that, I say this every time, we ask that folks adhere to the 3-minute time limit. And as a reminder, we don't engage in conversation during the public comment time, and we'll any matters that come up, we can refer to future agenda items. If you're on the line, sure appreciate it if you would mute while you're not speaking. And as a reminder to the commissioners, remember to kind of state your name when you're ready to speak. So, okie doke. And I think that's it. We'll go to back to Sandy for a roll call.
All right. Thank you very much. I will begin with you, Chair Beefen.
I am present.
Vice Chair Elston.
Present.
Commissioner Moore.
Present.
Commissioner Potter.
Present.
Commissioner Sedor.
Here.
Commissioner Sporn.
Present.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
All present. Back to you, Chair Beathen.
Okie doke. So an agenda was circulated prior to the meeting. I'm sorry. The agenda has been circulated prior to the meeting, and I'd like to see if we can get a motion to approve today's agenda as presented.
So
Commissioner
moved. Potter,
Commissioner
so moved.
Sedor, second.
So I heard Potter and Sedor moved and seconded. Any comments? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? No abstentions. Motion carries. Okay. Now, the meeting minutes have been circulated prior to the meeting, the October 17th, 2024 meeting minutes. We'll call for a motion to approve.
Commissioner Sedor, I move to approve the minutes of October 17th,
Worried about
2024.
this meeting again. Is every possible?
Commissioner Sporn, I second.
I'm sorry, Lauren, did you say something? Did I hear someone from the staff say something, Sandy?
No, they did popped off mute for just a second, but that
Oh,
was it
got it,
for
got it.
this
Okay.
meeting. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we were being, hey, wait a minute, guys, we're doing something right, because not the first
Nope,
time that
we're
we
all
haven't been
good.
exactly spot on with the Robert's Rules of Order. So,
You're d
well,
Everything's
okay.
going great.
All right, it's been moved and seconded for the approval of the prior meeting minutes. Any discussion, any changes, additions, anything like that? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? None. Okay. We have no awards or recognition, although we will have one for a very valued member of our commission we'll talk about later, who will be moving along. But, so we hope they will come to a future meeting. Anyway, so now we're going to go to old business and turn it over to Bill Dutra for any program updates.
Good morning. Is everybody able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Sorry, a little technology problems here in the department this morning. So a few program updates for you today. So a couple of things. Our current agency request legislation, which is moving some of our programs with smaller licensing base into the what we commonly refer to as the Business and Professions account or the O6L account, has a sponsor. It has been brought to the legislature for this year. We've responded to many different questions of different elected officials or representatives who would like some information regarding that. There's no news right now on that right now. Obviously, by the April 17th, I believe that is your next meeting, we'll have a very good understanding of where that bill actually went and what is happening with that bill. So basically, no news is good news for today on agency request legislation. The other information that was brought to my attention that people wanted to hear about, they wanted to know if there had been any changes or adjustments to the fee increases that went into effect in October of 2024. There has not been any. I can imagine that there may be some additional information that may come out of this legislative session. We have been responding to requests for information from different representatives who have brought forth or asked us to look at other proposals. We've responded back to those. That generally happens with any type of fee increase that we do with any of our different professions as well. Again, through this legislative session, by your April 17th meeting, if the legislature so chooses to make adjustments or corrections or add anything to the appraiser licensing account, we would have that information hopefully by the April 17th commission meeting. Finally, this is not in your packet. In your packet on one of the agenda items, you'll have some high-level basic licensing information. That licensing information, I believe, has a poll date of around the middle of December on what those are. So I'm going to give you some numbers as well as of earlier in this month. Please understand is that those numbers of active licensees or expired licensees, those will change daily depending on when people renew or don't renew. So the numbers are going to be not exactly the same as we go through some of this. So some of the important information that we were asked to look at and bring to you today is how many current, as of today, this morning I had a run made. We currently have 677 appraisers who are on inactive status. To put that into a little bit of context, I went back through some of the older commission meeting notes. I believe in July of last year, we reported that there were 577 inactive appraisers. So there's been a change of 100 from July of last year of 2024 to today, January 16th. Some other valuable information that we were asked to come up with in October of 2024, when the fee increase went into effect, there were 47 appraisers, all levels of appraiser, not just certified general, all levels of appraiser that chose not to renew their license. So they are currently on an expired status. In November, that number was 44. December, that number was 35. Those are the numbers of appraisers that could have renewed but chose not to, so they are currently in an expired status. So I believe the math on that is 126. They do not count towards the 677 number at this time, because remember, of the way that the law is currently written, you must be on expired status for 1 year before you go to inactive status. The second set of numbers that I'm going to give you, as of, I believe, January 2nd of this year, how many of the amount of people that had been expired for a year and then went to an inactive status that count towards that 677 number that I gave you earlier. In October, there were 18 that went into the inactive status. November, there were 17 that went into the inactive status. December, there were 12 that went into the inactive status. So a grand total of 47 for those 3 months, the last 3 months of the year, which coincides with the month that the fee increase went into effect. As of January 2nd, for all statuses, we represented 2,774 total active licensees. Again, I warn you all and advise you all that those numbers change daily as people renew or they drop out of expired status into inactive status. Okay. So, but that is what the numbers we're showing as of January 2nd at that date. Obviously, we do not have a long runway right now from when the fee increases went into effect at the end of or the middle part of October. We'll have a little bit, as we get a little bit further from that, we'll have more data for April of what that looks like. Are there any questions regarding the information that I just reported from the commissioners?
Yeah, Bill, this is Commissioner Sporn. I wonder if you know the active number of appraisers as of January of last year.
That I did not pull, but I can have our team start looking into that as we speak, sir. Hopefully we may have that before the end of this meeting. Deb Allen Baugh, could you please have see if we could are able to pull a January 1, 2024 number?
We will do that, Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Sporn.
Commissioner Potter, Bill, first, thank you very much for making this report. I really appreciate your insights. The 2774 number, that yes, includes sir. Active appraisers, and does that include the people that are in the expired status working their way toward possibly other category, or does yes, that just include paid up active appraisers?
Active appraiser, sir. And okay. I apologize. There was one other number that you would that I was asked to provide, and I had a poll done this morning prior to 9 o'clock a.m. We currently show 222 appraiser trainees.
Okay.
Apologize not giving that in the beginning.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions for Mr. Dutra? Okay. Bill, one quick, so you read a lot of numbers.
Yes, sir.
Is that something that is available for the public to see, or is that something that only gets produced for these commission meetings? You know, let's say somebody wanted to see those numbers and didn't have the benefit of this particular meeting. They can always go back and request it. But I guess if somebody were curious, where is there an easy way to get that data rather than being on the meeting? And I would tell you, I didn't write all the numbers down. And so
I realize that. The simple answer is right now, no. In the future, there will be yes. What I can do is I can take this information. I can give this to Ms. Baugh and our team and see if that could be included with the information that I'm reading from today for this meeting. So I'll put them in their hands. For our April meeting, I will have a better graph and information that will be part of the packet. The reason that I caution is that the numbers that are in the packet, because of the timeframes that we have, I'm trying to give more up-to-date information as the meeting comes. So it kind of creates a confusion of you reported this in the packet, but Mr. Dutra talked about this number at the meeting because they're separated by about 3 weeks. So we'll try to do the best that we can with the caveat that these numbers change daily. Sometimes they change hourly depending on how many people are accessing our system.
So before I go to Commissioner Elston, who's raised their hand, yes. I didn't start with saying thank you for pulling current numbers.
Oh, no worries, sir.
Yeah, that was implied. Okay,
Claire. I got that one. That was clear, sir.
Hi, Bill. Thank you very much for the numbers. Just a quick question. When you guys had to run through all the scenarios for the fee increase, does this number of the 2,774, is that the close to the number you use to determine what the appropriate fee should be, or is it higher, or is it lower? I mean, obviously, if we have fewer appraisers that are renewing, then there will be higher costs will have to be covered by the other appraiser. So I'm wondering if the number 2774 is reasonably close to the estimate you used when determining what the new fee increase should be.
So I'll answer that question is that we haven't determined what We have not stated that the current fee is incorrect. The numbers that we use were based on scenarios that were brought to us. We used the numbers that were available to us on the day that we were asked about if the legislature did something, if the legislature found extra funds and said, if we give you this money for the next 5 years, could you lower the fee? So we based it on those sorts of hypotheticals and scenarios.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Dutra? Bill, we know that you sometimes get to be the bearer of all sorts of news, so we do really appreciate all that you're doing for the deal and for the appraisers.
Not a problem. And in April, I'll end with, sir, again, in April, I'm going to try to get information as close to the cutoff date as I'm required by law to have an agenda posted and have information in there. However, in April, those numbers will be skewed a little bit because we will have a couple of weeks of additional data. So when I come to the meetings, I'm going to try to give as close to the information
as possible. Bill, hang on just a minute.
Oh.
Not renewed since the fee increase went up.
Excuse me. I think somebody's speaking. If you can make sure you're muted, we'd sure appreciate it. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
So I just want to kind of always remind people is that the data that we put in packets, like you'll see, and I think Sandy will kind of gloss over it later, that's data that is going to be a little different than what I reported because it's about almost a month older than my data coming. So I'm going to try to time that a little bit more with always that caveat is I'm trying to give you information as of this. I'm giving you information as of 9 o'clock this morning versus information that's in your packet today was as of December, the middle part of December.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that we're all clear on that. But thank you very much. And you all have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Looks like there's a comment from Ms. Allenbaugh.
That's correct. I think the question that I heard asked was, did we have the numbers of how many active licensees as of January 1st, 2024? Was that the question that I heard asked from the commissioners?
Yes, that's correct. This is Commissioner Sporn.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Sporn. I have that number. It's actually something that we published in our overview. We took the numbers calculation on January of 2024, and we had at that time 2,891 active appraiser licenses, and that included trainees.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Any other questions for staff on this matter?
Yeah, just one more question from Commissioner Sporn here. Bill, they just said there was 2,891, and that included trainees. And so your 2,077 figure as of January this year, that did not include trainees, correct?
I believe Bill may have jumped off for another meeting, but I believe it did include trainees.
Okay. So in other words, we've lost over 800 appraisers in that year.
I think you stated the is 2774, Jay, not correct. 2074.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Potter.
So was that question, are you good? Commissioner Sporn?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Great. Any other questions, comments? Well, as always, we appreciate the staff, and you all do a lot of work. All right, so we're going to move into new business. I'm going to turn over to Ms. Bauer.
Thank you, Chair Beathen. As you know, the first meeting of the year, we set aside an agenda item for electing a new chair and a new vice chair to serve for one calendar year. This will be effective the next meeting in April, and commissioners may either self-nominate or they can nominate other members. There is no limit to the number of terms a member can serve as chair or vice chair. These positions must be appointed and voted for individually and separately. So appointment of each position must be a separate action, and they can't be voted on together. So I will turn it back over to you, Chair Beathen, to accept nominations for the 2026 chair.
Okie doke. Thanks, Sandy. So we'll start out, obviously, with a chair role, and we'd be looking for requesting for nominations for the chair role.
This is Commissioner Sedor. I nominate Commissioner Beathen.
This is Commissioner Sporn. I'd like to second that. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
And I'm going to say this. Anyone else want to self-nominate? Any other nominations? And I mean that in all earnestness and seriousness, because one way or the other, last year or this year is my last year of being the chair, because we need to make sure we roll these positions around the commission. So any other nominations?
I move we close the nominations.
Chair Potter, second.
All right. I don't think we need a motion to close, but all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, double dipping. All right. So I guess we would need to make sure we affirmatively, it's a really awkward vote me into the chair. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nays? Abstain? I probably should abstain. Motion carries. Okay. We would look for a motion for the vice chair.
Commissioner Potter, I place a nomination, Denise Stevens.
Good. Any others? Anyone else interested, self-nominate or a nomination? I really want to make sure this is an open question.
Commissioner Sparn, I'll second that nomination.
Okay. Okay, seeing no others, I think that we've got a motion and a second for Denise Stevens to move into the vice chair role. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Congratulations to all of us. Thanks very much.
Denise Stevens, thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, too, I think that, you know, we've had a lot of turnover in our commission, and now we're a fully formed. We've got one more role to fill. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. And, you know, we've had a lot of stuff going on. And then I look forward to kind of rotating out, you know, because I think that's the nature of what we do, because no one person defines the commission, and it's all of us together. So I really do appreciate everyone, and enough said. All right. Let's go to the next topic, and Sandy's going to discuss our off-site meeting. I think we were looking at Hawaii, or was that somewhere down in the Caribbean? I mean, I think...
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I was
How fantastic would that be?
Putting that out there, baby.
Belize.
At the last meeting of the year, we vote for the following year meeting calendar. And we had discussed that the in-person meeting would perhaps take place July 24th this year. However, our planning coordinating efforts have been put on pause. In December last year, Governor Inslee set out a spending freeze memo, which is halting these planning events. So no travel authorizations, no spending authorizations. So once we're authorized to resume these efforts, we will let you know. But as of this time, all in-person meetings have been put on hold. Any questions on this? Okay, thank you.
All right. We're going to move into reports, and we're going to start with the subcommittee reports, starting with Commissioner Stevens on education.
Thank you, Mr. Beeson. We canceled our last meeting, so it's been a while since we've met, and the meetings for 2025 have not been scheduled yet because of a change in the DOL office. So we really don't have anything to report at this time. Once we get going for 2025, we'll have more to report for the April meeting.
Thanks very much. Really appreciate all the work you're doing on that. And good. Any questions on education? Okay. We're going to move to the upzoning. And my name is on this, but it's really a shared group. And as a reminder, it's Jay, myself, and then Todd Rennington serves as an outside member, non-commissioner member of the group. And we do really appreciate that. All great insight from everybody. So, and Commissioner Sedor, much appreciated. What we've done in the past, and a reminder, we are not a lobbying group. We are an advisory group, and we need to stay clear of lobbying. But it's really useful to have the input of what ACOW is doing, and we've been doing it through this particular committee. And I believe Kathy Walsh is on the call, and she is the chair of ACOW. And they do a lot of great work, and they're really busy, and there's a lot going on. And, you know, and I really appreciate everything that they've been doing. So we're going to have Kathy give us an update of kind of what's kind of the current status, and I'm going to turn it over to her. I saw that she was on the call, so I've got three screens, so I don't know who's on camera or not, but Kathy, you're here, and I'd like to turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Beeson, and thank you for inviting me to speak to the commission again about middle housing. I think we can all agree that middle housing, as it pertains to appraising, does not have a simple answer. It's complicated by circular arguments, and for appraisers, revolves around the highest and best use analysis. What we're hearing now from appraisers and lenders is that there is greater attention being paid to the potential legal use and highest and best use of a property. And appraisers are not just checking the as-is box on their reports. They are considering excess land and zoning, even outside the middle housing areas, and applying all of the highest and best use tests. More questions are being asked, and more appraisers are contacting their city planning departments for answers. And yes, the areas, as areas are starting to be developed to higher density, which is the intent of the housing initiative, lenders are beginning to see that highest and best use box checked no. It's essential for appraisers to accurately report the actions of the market and produce a well-supported analysis to protect the public trust as one of the few uninvested parties to the transaction. In October, I reported that the Appraisers Coalition developed a highest and best use webinar. It was well received, and we've had follow-up presentations by the City of Seattle Planning Department and have developed a short Q&A. We continue to strive to keep appraisers and users of appraisals up to date. We are currently in the early stages of developing a site value analysis class with specific real-life examples to help appraisers understand this process. The site value analysis is the root of the highest and best use analysis, and I think everyone would be in agreement that additional education is needed. Hopefully, we can get this completed soon. The coalition has several initiatives in the 2025 session, including waiver valuations for right-of-way assignments, the implementation of the statute of limitations, hopefully, maybe finally, and a modification to RCW 18-140-10 regarding the definition of an appraisal. We want to include the language given us through the Department of Licensing, Senator Bateman, and the Attorney General, which is available on the DOL website as an FAQ. We want to add comments that the highest and best use analysis is not in itself an appraisal. I have the actual words. They're a little cumbersome. The highest and best use analysis of a property when used to determine whether an appraisal, appraisal assignment, or specialized appraisal service can be performed within an appraiser's license level is not in and of itself an appraisal, appraisal assignment, or appraisal report. Kind of hard to say. But we feel it is important to continue to work on this issue for the protection of the appraisers through the state. And it is critical to have the assurance that the analysis is within our licensure. We understand that this will not solve all of the issues, and we will work with our legislators to find solutions to additional problems as they arise. I have something that I want to share that I just came across this morning. I wasn't going to have it as part of this presentation, but I think it's important. This morning, I spoke with a member of the TAF Industry Advisory Council, and they recognize that there's a significant gap in the education level of appraisers when it comes to the highest and best use analysis. Their task force is considering a proposal to the AQB for a certification level or education requirement to address the lack of direction between the AQB standards and the methodology needed. So as appraisers are challenged with more and more difficult assignments, they need additional support. I'm keeping in touch with the task force, and I'll be given a copy of the report as soon as it's available, and I'll follow up with you guys too. We'll continue to follow the middle housing challenges. We'll continue working with TAF, AQB, and the state, and to continue helping appraisers keep appraisers informed of major issues as they develop. That's it. Thanks for your time. And once again, I appreciate being able to speak.
Chair Beathen, you're muted.
Thank you for only the one person saying that. You know, when you mute and then you forget to unmute, you start talking and 12 people jump in. So appreciate it. Looks like Commissioner Cedar's got a question.
Good morning. Yes, thank you. And Kathy, appreciate and thank you for your information. The first question that came to my mind when you mentioned the possible revision to the RCW that would qualify that a highest and best use analysis is not an appraisal or consulting assignment is, can we in our state law amend or revise what is effectively a USPAP standard, or would this require buy-off by the ASB? And I appreciate your time.
And you're muted, Kathy.
That's a good question, Commissioner Cedar. Thank you. I've been talking to a lot of people about trying to do this. I proposed it to Department of Licensing, and they did not have issue with it. I spoke with Scott DiBiasio, the Government Relations Committee for the Appraisal Institute, and they don't have an issue with it. When I spoke with Lisa Desmarais, their response has always been, go back to the state. It has to be done at a state level. So, no, I think we can do this. We are asking Senator Bateman to support the bill.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, I'll just say, Stan, I wondered the same thing at the same time. If the state goes on record and says, you know, this is something we'll allow, then it does at least become part of the state license practice, you know. And one can argue USPAP. I mean, there's a lot of ways to think about USPAP and argue, but you know, debate USPAP. And you know, but at least it does clarify something in our state law for our state appraisers for state license issues. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I know it's kind of a murky area. And, but like I said, it's interesting to me. It kind of, but what I appreciate is that ACOW is taking this on, you know, because it is still, uncharted area And for us in particular in the state, because we've got legislation that has caused a lot of us angst over the last year, year and a half, 2 years, however long that's been. So at least ACAL's taking it on. Jay, do you have your hand up? Oh, just resting your arm? Okay. And so you said you're discussing that now with the legislation, Kathy?
I sent them the proposed changes. I sent the proposed changes to DOL, received, no issue from them. We've just sent it over to Senator Bateman, seeking her sponsor. So once we have that secured, then we can move into actually having the bill.
What would that timing look like? I guess part of it's the response or sponsorship. Right.
I don't know. I think they're a little busy in Olympia. You know.
What? Yeah, no, I get that. I just kind of was curious. So,
yeah.
Cool.
We just got it to her the last day or two, so it'll take
a bit. Gotcha. Well, we appreciate that. Todd, you got your hand up?
Yeah, just to reiterate, this is not a USPAP issue. It is specifically about how the way the law is written in the state of Washington. Very, very briefly, if an appraiser does a highest and best use study and declines an appraisal report because the result of that highest and best use study shows that the property's highest and best use is greater than 4 units, the specific terminology within the state law says that any communication is an appraisal report, and subsequently that appraiser, by rejecting that appraisal, technically the potential is that they would be violating their license. Again, it's gray, it's murky, it's whatever, but that's what we're trying to clear up.
Kathy, before you comment, I'm going to also speak into it. It sure seems to me that appraisers almost every day might enter in an assignment and then at some point determine they're not competent for whatever reason. Maybe you thought you were competent, but you were not, and have declined assignments. And, you know, I'm not sure how that's different. You know, I think to find out that, hey, wait a minute, I'm not able to complete this. You know, you're actually being transparent. And I'm not an USPAP expert, but I think back to, I think if you at some point in the assignment you determine you're not competent, and then you need to withdraw from the assignment, and you would need to communicate that. But and they're in line with, to me, that even be a conflicting thing if you're taking that tack. Now, you just mentioned about state law, but I'm not looking to debate this, but I just, this one's been a murky issue. But Kathy, you had your hand up and I spoke in front of you. Hope you don't mind me doing that.
That's fine. Did you want me to go ahead?
Please.
I just wanted to add that every state has their own laws and they don't match from state to state. So there's, precedent and lots of latitude that we can change our laws without other issues. And, to Todd's comments, we have had the assurance from the Attorney General published on the DOL website that we can go ahead and it's not affecting our licensure. So this is just taking it another step further for that comfort level for appraisers.
Yeah. Commissioner Cedar.
Thank you. It's not my intent to dig too deep into the weeds here, but I'm just thinking some different things about, because I've actually spent a fair amount of time really digging into USPAP recently because of a review I had to complete. And USPAP sets the minimum appraisal standards for completing an appraisal report, but that states and or the federal government can add to it and add additional requirements. And they typically do. As an example, for federal things, there's Yellow Book, which goes a little beyond, has certain own special requirements. But I'm not reading that as saying that we can make exceptions to have something less than the minimum USPAP standards. And I'm not saying that's what's happening here. I guess I'd have to really think about this more, but I just thought I'd throw that out as a comment or observation.
I would wonder if the foundation of ASB, if they thought that something the state was doing was, you know, like you described, Stan, is less than. I wonder if then, though, would they be required to say, no, that's less than, at least in our view, rather than that's a state issue. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, and I don't either. That's why I'm just thinking, kind of trying to think around the box on this.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's why I'm not the standards board. so any other comments, discussion? Okay. Kathy, really appreciate the work that ACOW does. And you and Todd are both on ACOW, and we are appreciative of everything you're doing. And thank you for taking the time with the Appraisers Commission as well. So I think with that, we can move on. I'm looking up. I don't see any hands raised. Nobody's raising their arm except for Jay when he was stretching, and I just called on him anyway. All right. I think we're going back to you, Sandy, and you're going to turn it over to.
Yep, I'm going to turn it over to the investigation supervisor, Mr. Nathan Buck, to give us our complaint case count report.
All right, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Nathan Buck. I'm program manager for our real estate programs to include the appraiser program. So the numbers that we have listed here on this slide are as of December 11th of 24, and they are ever since the 1st of January of 24, so that time frame there. So I'm have...
Is there a slide shared? Am I on the wrong view? Oh, never mind. Yeah. Yep, I was on the wrong view. I had a different view on. Thank you. Sorry.
All right. My bad. Okay, perfect. So for investigations, we have 37 that are in investigation status. We have one that's in legal status. Four that is in management review, one in reopen. Both of those still go towards the investigation status portion of it, with a closed total of 109. So if we can go to the next slide. As far as the common complaints, we still have kind of the same that we report out to the last board meeting. So they're inappropriate comparable sales selection, use of dissimilar comparable cells due to site characteristics, and use of physically dissimilar comparable cells age. With that, are there any questions?
I do. It looks like, actually, go ahead, Claire, Commissioner Elston, why don't you go first?
Yes, thank you very much. I've brought up in the past and just want a clarification, Nathan. Are any of these complaints, since we've been discussing throughout the past year, the upzoning and appraisers trying to comply with that, and I had requested that if any of the complaints had to do with the upzoning and how appraisers have been handling it, that that would be reported back to us on the commission. Have any of these complaints had to do with the upzoning?
As of right now, none of the complaints have been pertaining to the upzoning.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Commissioner Cedar.
Thank you. On the prior slide, you showed one case reopened. What tends to cause a case to be reopened? Is there standard? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. So there may be several different situations that would cause a reopen. Those would be, we received new information that caused us to reopen the case. We have done another review after it was done, and we have reopened it from there. But there are multiple reasons that would cause a reopen. Those mm-hmm. would just be a couple of examples.
I appreciate it. And what is the, I should know this by now, I've been on the commission for 5 years. What is the difference between investigation and management review?
Yes, so the investigation means that it is still in some sort of investigative standard. So it would be either pending investigation, in investigation status. Management review means the investigation has been completed and that it has moved on to the next review process.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great. I don't see any other questions or comments, but I do have one myself, if that's okay. Can you share, I think you mentioned in either the last meeting or the previous meeting where you mentioned investigations around the issue of unintentional bias or bias, you know, statements and appraisals. Can you share if you've seen much of that and kind of a lot of discussion around that, just trying to get your input on that?
Absolutely. So a lot of the patterns when it was reported last were coming from complaints from Freddie Mac. We have looked into those cases and made it as far as that goes for the investigation. So those kind of come up, then they drop off. That's what those trends look like at the moment. As we move forward, those may come back. It really depends on what those, how many complaints come in during those times to make it a trend again.
Gotcha. And are there anything outside of Freddie and Fannie, or is it just those agencies that have been doing those referrals?
There are possibly, I don't know of any off the top of my head at the moment, but we could do some research and I can get with Sandy to report back out to you if necessary.
Yeah, I would appreciate that if that's okay. Just because, you know, it's a topic and it's one that is becoming more and more discussed. And, you know, we had reviewers, you know, I deal with, you know, lender reviewers at times, you know, say, hey, you know, look at this statement here, and we're very mindful of it. And I've just been thinking a lot about it. I'd just be curious what rises to the level of a complaint and an investigation.
Absolutely. And I would be more than happy to work with Sandy to report back to the board.
Great. Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see any other questions. Go ahead, Sandy.
All right, now I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Jessica Koenig to talk about the top complaints and resolutions of those complaints.
Thank you, Sandy. And I just want to make sure, Mr. Buck, were you finished? Because I thought you still had that one last paragraph.
Oh, I apologize for that. Thank you very much. So I apologize for that. So as far as those were the common complaints that came in, as far as the potential violations identified after the investigation, we have unsupported adjustments, use of dissimilar comparable cells, and misreporting condition and quality. Those are common trends for those. So thank you very much.
Would you read those one more time?
Yes. I have this slide. Okay, perfect. So that will be unsupported adjustments, use of dissimilar comparable cells, and misreporting condition and quality.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Great.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Sandy. Jessica Koenig, I am a program specialist for regulatory compliance. The information I have to share with you today are the three most common sanctions for disciplinary action where we've received a case and have verified that there is action that needs to be taken. And those three common sanctions would be license revocation, continuing education, and or fines. I see we already have a question.
Hi, this is Commissioner Sedor. I think in the last meeting when this slide came up, I asked about whether there had been or is it often that there's a license revocation. And I believe that the response at that time was, no, rarely that happens.
And that is correct. Our intention is to have everybody stay licensed and just functioning within the space that they're supposed to be working We use license revocation as a last resort or for those situations where there's been gross negligence or consumer harm, repeat offenses. So that is definitely not something that we turn to lightly.
Great. You actually answered my next question. I was going to ask of what really would trigger a license revocation, and I appreciate the response.
You bet. We want our licensees to be able to work and continue doing their thing. So that is the last resort for us. Any other questions?
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Sandy?
All right, now we're going to move on to the license account reports, and I would like to introduce Ian Crowley to you as the representative from the Licensing and Customer Support Services Group.
Good morning. I should say that I'm Ian Crowley, working with the supervisor and for the appraiser department. So as you can see in the slide here, this is similar to some of the information that Bill shared with us earlier. These are the numbers up to December 11th, continuing the trend that the vast majority of our licensees are in the age group 45 and up. The number at that time was 2,786, very similar to the number that Mr. Dutra shared with us earlier in this presentation. Trends on the actual renewals of or the active licensees, the different types. This slide shows that we have 126, 1,358, 1,000, 19, and 225 of the different types of licenses there. So similar numbers with some numbers in a decline. Again, as Mr. Dutra showed, some of these will vary dependent upon cycles for renewals. So we'll, as he indicated, he'll try to get you a little bit more current numbers in the following meetings. Here we have as well the renewal statuses up to November with the total renewals for new issues of 225, and renewals of 1,178 for that cycle from January through November. We didn't have Decembers as when these were run. December was not completed yet, so those will be in the next meeting.
Any questions, comments? Great. Moving on, we stay with you, Sandy.
All right. So
Thank you, Ian. I didn't say that. Forgive me.
Thank you, commissioners.
And it looks like Stan just raised his hand. So,
yeah, Commissioner Sedor, I thought, do we have, or is it possible to look back in records and determine at what historical point we had the lowest number of certified residential appraisers? I mean, if you go back to the prior slide, we're now at 1358, and there has been generally over the last 3 years at least a declining trend. I'm wondering if there has been a time, let's say in the last decade or prior, maybe the last housing crash or economic recession, were we lower than 1358 and it came back up, or are we just seeing this declining trend right now?
That's a great question, Commissioner Sedor. And I think we can probably dig back and see how far back we can find data. Depending on how readily available it is, we can bring that back to the next meeting.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course.
Don't spend too much time on it. If you think it's too difficult, if it's not readily available, don't spend time on it. So.
Thank you.
Good-o.
All right. I'll go ahead and give a high overview of the third quarter of the housing market report. Of course, you can go to the Washington Real Estate Research website, and you can download any portion of this housing market report that you would like. So some of the market highlights are existing home sales rose by about 0.1% this quarter. However, it had an overall decrease of about 8.9% over the last year. Building permits are on the rise. They went up 1.4% this quarter. We had a total of 9,357 permits that were issued this quarter, and 4,858 of them were for single-family units. Moving on, that the median price for this quarter was just over $650,000, which is 2.6% higher than it was this time last year. Single family availability rose about 9.9% from this time last year, and there was a 2.4 month supply of housing this quarter. Last quarter, it was 2.2%, but this time last year, it was, 2.2 months last quarter, but this time last year, it was 2 months. Commissioner Sedor, you have a question.
Thank you. I'm just curious on the second bullet point, the single home family home availability. That's not affordability. That's just availability. No. In other words, there's a greater supply now available.
Correct. Yeah, that is not affordability, that is availability. And if you want to get into the affordability by county, it's available in the full report. Just head to the website and you can crunch all that data. Are there any other questions? All right, that concludes the housing market report. I'm going to go ahead and roll right into the review of the master action items list. First on the list is there is a vacancy that we're trying to fill on the board. Well, almost vacancy. We're going to be leaving that recruitment open for just a couple more weeks, just to make sure that everyone who is interested in serving on the commission has the opportunity to submit their application. So there will be a listserv message coming out shortly. Please, if you're interested, we would love to have a discussion with you. And the next thing on the list is trying to coordinate a representative from the Appraiser Diversity Initiative to come and be a guest speaker at a commission meeting. I am still working on that. And that concludes the master action items. And you're muted, Chair Beathen.
Yep, I realize that. I get this thing that says, you're muted. At least it doesn't say, you're muted, dummy. So I really appreciate that. So any other things for the master action list that we believe that were missed or that we need to address? And we'll have one more similar request after the public comment period.
We will.
Yeah, I'm just offering it up. Okay, moving on. We're going to move into the public commentary period, and we're going to open the floor for the public to address the commission. And I will ask again, and I know sometimes it seems like it's difficult because there's a lot of good things that come from the public, but we do ask you to keep it to 3 minutes. And you know, the reason why is, you know, with the Open Meetings Act is just to make sure that, you know, we can't be looked at in hindsight to say that we gave more time to one party than another. And, you know, there's always the option to write in to the commission as well. And so, and the comments need to be within our jurisdiction, you know, things that are in our purview. And then we will not engage in discussion with the public, but we'll direct things back to staff for further review and potentially putting on to a later agenda item. And Sandy, was anything brought in writing?
No, we do not have any comments in writing.
Yeah. Anything brought in writing. I write for a living, too. That was darn good English. All right. So I think we're going to go ahead and open this up to the public and ask if there are anyone. Is there anyone who would like to speak? This is a first.
I do not see any hands raised.
I don't either. All right. I'm going to go ahead and close the...
Shocking.
It's good. I mean, you know, I appreciate the comments, and we're also happy to move on. And all right, so the floor is now closed. I want to confirm something. Anybody can't use the hand raise. If you think, wait a minute, I can't get that to work, or you're on your mobile phone. If anyone does have anything, I want to make sure they did get the opportunity to speak into the meeting and just, you know, but you know, unmute yourself and say anything if you wanted to. Okay. Seeing none, the floor is now closed. All right, announcements.
All right, staff does have one announcement. I would like to announce that Sandra Schaefer, who has been a member of this team for the last 2 years, has left our team, and we're very sad to see her go. And I would also like to take the opportunity to introduce Alyssa Woods. She'll be stepping in temporarily to assist the advisory boards with me. And we wish Sandra the best of luck in her next endeavors.
Correct. Correct. And I know that we do recognition after the fact, but confirming this is the last meeting for Commissioner Elston.
Correct. We're very sad for that. And we will be doing a recognition for her at the next meeting. So hopefully she'll be able to attend.
So even though she's on mute and she just loves public attention, we will do a recognition of somebody that I have personally been very grateful for in the last several months, you know, years and months. You've been hugely helpful to me and also the commission. But I will say that again. But in case for any reason you had a conflict, you needed to hear it from me. I'd love to have you hear it from me. So anyway, Claire, go ahead. Sorry, you're still muted.
There we go. You think I'd have the hang of this now. Thank you very much. That's a kind comment. I've enjoyed being on the commission. You know, I believe so much in the importance of what we do as appraisers for the state of Washington, both for the public good as well as, frankly, for the economic health of our state. And so it's been a pleasure to be part of this process that tries to help appraisers. So best wishes to all of you.
Yep. We will hopefully see you at the next meeting. Great. Great. All right. So, with that being said, I guess we're looking for any future agenda items that came, that have come up that we want to add to the agenda for next time or. All right. Seeing none, if you just allow me one small indulgence, I do want to say to the commission, and also to Todd, who's part of our working group, one of our subcommittees, Todd Reddington, thank you for 2024. It was a difficult year in a lot of ways, a lot of moving parts for all of us. And I just want to say thank you and thank you to staff because it was, you know, a lot of times I didn't know what to do. You know, as the chair, you think, okay, you should know what you're doing. But there are times that I really wasn't certain what's the right step to take and the action to take. And staff has been amazing. Sandy, Sandra, whom we're going to miss, you know, Deb and Bill and everybody. We just want to say thank you because, you know, you all do it as a job, but and staff, but, you know, you're highly efficient. There's a lot of things you could do, but you work for the state. So thank you. And all of us who are volunteers, you know, we've all got day jobs. So I just wanted to say thank you. Good. I like it. You know, they give me this cheat sheet. Note, no motion is needed for adjournment. It was just so much fun to ask everyone because everyone enthusiastically said, yeah, we're going to adjourn. But Since we don't need a motion to adjourn.
We do. Commissioner Sporn has his hand raised, and we still need to review any action items that were caught for this meeting.
See, that's what I didn't read in red. I just jumped to the adjournment. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Sporn. I'd just like to second the chairman's comments about the staff and all that you do for us and make this so much. I mean, we'd be like a bunch of chickens running around if it wasn't for you guys. So I really appreciate everybody at the DOL. Thanks so much.
Gotcha. And we were looking to skip staff on the review of the action items. I just forgot.
All right, I'll turn it over to Ms. Alyssa Woods, and she's going to let us know what action items were captured during this meeting.
Chair Beaton, you just had me introduced, and then you forgot about me already. So,
yeah, you know, I'm not really good at this sometimes.
It's okay. So I've only captured two action items. I saw the commission requested additional information regarding bias-related complaints. And then the commission also requested that staff determine at what historical point we had the lowest number of certified residential appraisers. If there's anything else that we should be doing, I'd be happy to add it to the list right now.
I don't see anyone.
Okay.
And I will never forget about you ever again.
Thank you.
looks like, okay. Oh, thumb raised from Commissioner Cedar. Wait a minute, it's a comment. Okay, I think we're good. Anything else with the good of the order? Seeing none, I've got 11:06 and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.